Tolls.
That was good.
Yeah.
Imagine it was even better seeing it that close.
Yeah. Here's a little trivia for you. You know you're a good metal fan when you can tell the difference between Hell's Bells and For Whom the Bell Tolls by the pitch of the different bell intros. That used to confuse me so much. Two songs sound so much alike in the beginning.
Well, who are we talking about next?
Well, I guess we can roll into my bluegrass days here.
Okay.
And how I got into that. Actually, I got into that up here. Well, my parents were always really big bluegrass fans, and my mom used to go see, with her boyfriend at the time, used to go see Alison Krauss in Union Station, like, all the time, every time they'd come through. And I never really got to see him, and I wasn't that into it until they got me the live album from, I think it was 2001, which we're going to play here in a little bit, but
right.
I have another story that rolls into that one. So I got up here and just was looking for something to do, and I used to listen to Jim all the time on the Music Hour. And I was like, you know, I want to learn to play something. So I went down to Wild Traders, and I found a Dobro guitar hanging on the wall.
Oh, sweet.
So I bought it, and I didn't know what I was doing. It was a regular round-neck Spanish-style guitar.
Mm-hmm.
I played it regular guitar style. It was what you'd use for blues, a bottleneck and all that. So I had bought a bottleneck slide, and I was using a flat pick and everything. Didn't know anything about it.
Yeah.
And I was making the worst noises ever. And, yeah, it took me about 6 months messing around with that before I kind of was, YouTube was really big then. This was probably 2010.
Right.
So it was, you know, I did a bunch of lessons. I finally got a good guitar.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't, you know, I knew about, it was at the time, it was White Twang was the band. Now it's Elmy and the Twang. And I knew about him, never really seen him. I actually didn't hook up with any of those guys until I moved back up here.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't really have anybody to play with here. And then the Coast Guard sent me away down to Florida. And it was a blessing in disguise because I met my wife down there, so that was really cool. And I hooked up with this bluegrass group. It was a jam group.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what sort of really got the ball rolling and kind of, you know, kicked it off for me. And just I found out through this type of music that if you, you know, really want to meet your heroes, it's where you can do it.
Huh.
And you know, I got to talking with these guys, and I couldn't really play a lick. And it took me probably a good 6 months before I'd be comfortable getting up and doing solos and everything in the group. And at that time, I had bought a pretty good guitar, and I was practicing all the time. And I found out about these things called bluegrass festivals, which I was 27 years old at the time. So
yeah.
Kind of a late bloomer in that sort of, and now I have a show about it. So that's kind
that's
of
awesome,
5
though.
Years later.
So really open community.
We'll see
and
where
stuff
it goes in 10 years. Yeah. Cool. So I started going to these festivals, and they were just weekend jams with the big, you know, jam group clubs, and got to the point where I could pick with them. And then they had the first big festival of the year. It was at this place called Sertoma Youth Ranch, and it was Service to Mankind was the name of the organization. And they were like they did like children's hearing, you know, they donated hearing aids and that kind of thing to kids. But they had this ranch where they'd have all these music venues. They had all kinds of stages and everything. This was right in the middle of Florida. It's right in the middle of all these orange groves and these huge live oaks with big Spanish moss hanging down. And I had kind of really started listening to some of the top dobro players in the world. Of course, Jerry Douglas, you know, everybody knows him, even if you don't know bluegrass.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, and I really do guarantee you've heard something by Jerry Douglas. You might not know it, but he's been on more stuff than, you know, albums than anybody.
Yeah.
But there was this other guy, Rob Ikes, and he was in a band called Blue Highway.
Mm-hmm.
And I just was, like, in love with his music. I remember I would just sit there and play it over and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Even when I was still living up here, I was listening to it, and they were going to play. And so I was hanging out with my buddy Leon, who was sort of my dobro mentor. You know, he was multi-instrumentalist, talented, really talented guy. He could sing and pick and everything. And we're walking around, and he goes, "Hey, you want to meet Rob Ikes?" And I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Oh, I know him." I said, "What?" And he goes, "Yeah. He stayed at my house a few months ago. You know, he's gotten to be a friend of mine." Just, I was like, "How do you know him?" He's just like, "Yeah, it just depends on who you know."
Yeah, yeah.
So I ended up I went up and met him, and we ended up talking for like 2 hours.
Oh, no way.
His brother's an airplane mechanic. And
oh, that's so cool.
And so we just like hit it off.
Yeah.
And then they went and played, and it was just, it was this little tiny stage. It was much bigger than this room, and they had these little folding chairs.
Mm-hmm.
No sound system or anything.
Oh, wow.
Kind of like what we had the other day.
Right, right.
Some sound in here, just a acoustic in your face set,
and it sounds so good.
Yeah, and that was the first time I really saw true, other than the Metallica concert, that was awesome, but the up close in your face feeling the sound waves like hit you in the chest.
Yeah.
And I followed that band every time they came to Florida. The whole time I was there, I followed them around, and I would go up and meet them, and it got to the point where I, you know, and every bluegrass fan says this, they know somebody or they got to meet them, but it was kind of cool. Just to, it was, you really get to meet your heroes.
That's so cool.
And that's sort of what started this whole passionate thing for music for me, and why I'm kind of into it the way I am now, is just, it's, you know, it's sort of become my thing.
Yeah.
So let's play some Blue Highway. What do we got queued up here? There you go. Let's play Through the Window of a Train. We got to put the CD in here. Sorry.
Which track are we
track
playing?
Track 2.
All right.
This was the, I think, 2008 or 7 Bluegrass Song of the Year. Here you go.
Everybody drives the same old roads these days. Don't see a thing, but they know the way. Every mile's a marker, every town's the same. Another place to stop, but not to stay. Daddy was a brakeman on the L&M. Sometimes he let me ride along with him. No matter where we'd stop along the way, everybody knew his name. A different story down every line. People working hard just to live and die. I saw it all once upon a time. Window of a people moving through a picture frame. Seems the whole world's further down the track, but I'm always looking back. I don't expect you all to understand or see the country like a railroad man. So many things you'd never realize unless you saw them with these eyes. Jackson, hear the whistle call, and the sun goes down like a big red ball. In my memory, I still see it all through the window of a train. Through the window of a train.
It was down by the fork and stream out in Sycamore Holler. I went down in my best of dress to take her from her father. With hair down to her waist, the color of strawberries, down by the fork it streamed, by nightfall we would marry. I sure loved the farmer's daughter back in Sycamore Holler. Hands high, he rode in Sherman's army to Atlanta town against her will. They took my woman from me. Well, I grabbed my knife and both of my guns, and the loud voice I did call her. On the lightning horse, I swore once more as I left Sycamore Holler, I will bring the farmer's daughter back to Sycamore Holler. See the campfire flicker, four dead men lay behind as I leave that campsite with her. Now our children play in a fork and stream out in Sycamore Holler. A boy like me, a girl like her, will always be together. I sure love the farmer's daughter back in Sycamore Holler.
Sycamore Holler, Blue Highway.
That was good.
Yeah.
Here with Colin Spencer from Emerald Isle Bluegrass, one of our newer shows.
Yeah. It's been on, what, about 3 or 4 months now,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, a few months.
Yeah.
Getting a lot of good feedback. I was listening to that Twang show.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
Yesterday?
Yeah, it was yesterday, yep.
Yeah, and they said, yeah, we love Colin's show. He's doing a great job.
That's really cool to hear.
Jim Peterson, your radio godfather.
Yeah, really.
He's into it. So.
Yeah, I owe a lot to him for getting me started in this.
Yeah.
He didn't know about it, but yeah, that's what kick-started me into this thing.
Yeah. So. And cool. If you want to keep shows like Colin's on, you can inspire the next generation of radio hosts by keeping shows like that on. And we do have a lot of young hosts come in. When you got in, you saw Keith Bruce.
Yeah.
Kid from the middle school was doing a spotlight.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, we have a number of kids come in from the high school and put together spotlights. Nice. Every other Wednesday night we have a kid from the high school come in and do a new music show, and it's really cool that we allow people to come in, and we train them in radio stuff,
yep.
and
Yeah, it's community radio, and like I said before, it's volunteer time, which is one of the best things anybody can do.
Right.
Is donate your time.
Right.
Well, I guess we got time for one more story.
Yeah.
Well, this is kind of a personal one. This is the first concert I ever played on stage.
No way.
Actually, I think it was the only one. it's the only one where I got paid. Let's put it that way.
All right. I actually have been paid
for my music. I almost got stiffed at the end of it. But, yeah, when I was talking earlier about this jam group I used to play with in Florida, and we had this one guy who was a he had a bunch of different jobs. He's a really cool guy, really good guitar player. And he was a DJ, and he did a lot of, you know, promotions, that kind of thing. But he kind of promoted his own little band, and it was just whoever he could get to play with him at the time.
Okay.
And it had the most generic name for a band ever. It was the Florida Bluegrass Ramblers, which is, you know.
Yeah.
Basically, you just take, I've seen those things online where you take the three
columns
and you mix and match.
Right. I'm born in this month.
Yeah,
all right.
First letter of your middle name. Yeah. So I feel like it was made kind of from one of those.
Right.
But it was a St. Patrick's Day show.
Okay.
It was about 2 or 3 years ago, and it was at a VFW in Holiday, Florida. And I remember we got together, and it was a bunch of us who had never met before other than Chris and I. And he, you know, he was one of those guys who could go around and just meet people. He could find musicians. And we met at this guy's house down in St. Petersburg, who was a, he just moved from, I forget where he moved from, but he was a mandolin player. And he was a, like a professional chef, I think. And we had a couple of practices at his house, and I figured it was going to be just like a bluegrass show. I didn't realize we were going to be doing, you know, it was they pitched it to the VFW as a St. Patrick's Day show.
Yeah.
So we practiced one or two Irish songs. And for me, I was still kind of learning at the time. The bluegrass or the dobro was kind of tuned to a G chord, so a G and A songs are really, they come real easy and fast.
Yeah.
But when you play D, I hadn't quite learned all my D skills yet, so it was really, I was kind of falling behind.
Yeah.
And so we practiced a little bit, and we got to the show, and we played, and just the whole band was just. And when I go out and, you know, we'd play at VFWs and stuff at night, and I'd usually have one or two beers at the bar, and my playing would just go down the tube. I would just start stumbling. So I didn't have anything to drink at the show, and I kind of wish I had, because the other guys were just getting loaded because the rowdy crowd of, you know, 85-year-old ex-Marines wanted to hear Irish drinking songs.
Right. St. Paddy's
Day. We had one or two Irish-sounding songs, and the rest were just like, you know, old bluegrass standards and party songs. And about three songs into it, I realized I better work on my ducking skills because beer bottles are going to start flying at the stage. So it was just like, oh, God, you know, please get me out of here. So we played halfway through, and I had worked up this song, which we're going to play here in a minute. It's just one of the most beautiful instrumentals I think I've ever heard. It's by Jerry Douglas, and it's a song called A Tribute to Petter O'Donnell, and it's this really gorgeous kind of Irish-sounding tune. And I had kind of worked it up on the dobro, and so at this point, you know, they had served the corned beef and cabbage dinner and all that, and I was sort of the – I kind of was like – wanting to follow along with this live album that I get the song off of, where the second set, you come out of the intermission and here's this cool, you know, solo thing. And I got up there and I played the first little bit of it, probably about a minute, and I forgot the rest. And so I stood there and I just made something up on the fly, and it was, and I poured my heart out into that song. So this is not the version that I played. And if you want to hear me play it sometime, you know, come down to the station, get in touch with me. I've worked it up pretty good now.
You can play.
I can play it a little better now. Yeah, but this is Jerry Douglas off the Alison Krauss and Union Station live album from I think 2001 or two, tribute to Petter O'Donnell. going to send that song out to my buddy Andy Edgerly, the only other Dobro player in Kodiak. There you go, dude.
That was great. I was just saying, you were saying earlier, yeah, you probably heard that guy before. I said, this sounds pretty familiar.
Yeah, you guys use it on one of your promos. Yeah, that's called A Monkey Let the Hogs Out, yeah. The second song in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thanks for coming by,
Colin. Yeah, thanks for having me. This was a blast.
Yeah, I had a good time.
Yeah.